ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 6 दी डेमिगॉड्स एंड डीमंस डिक्लेयर ए ट्रूथ टेक्स्ट नंबर 29, 30 and 31 will be reading from 31, 29. You don't write the one with the commentary. Devai rochana masinam.
Devai rochani masinam.
Devai rochani masinam. गुप्तं चासुरयूतपय गुप्तं चासुरयूतपय श्रिया परमया जुष्टं श्रिया परमया जुष्टं जिताशेषं उपागमन् जिताशेषं उपागमन् अदर टू श्लोकास् महेन्द्रश्लक्षणया वाचा शान्तायित्वा महामति अव्यभाषता तत्सर्वा शिक्षितं पुरुषोत्तमात् तत्त्वरोचता दैत्यस्य तत्राण्ये येसुराधिपा संभारोषिनेमिष्य ये चे त्रिपुरा वासिना। ट्रांसलेशन द डेमिगॉड्स अप्रोच्ड बलि महाराज द सन ऑफ विरोचना एंड सैट डाउन नियर हिम। बलि महाराज वाज प्रोटेक्टेड बाय द कमांडर्स ऑफ द डीमंस and was most opulent, having conquered all the universes. After pleasing Bali Maharaj with mild words, Lord Indra, the king of the demigods, who was most intelligent, very politely submitted all the proposals he had learned from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. The proposals submitted by King Indra were immediately accepted by Bali Maharaj and his assistants, headed by Sambhara, Aristanemi, and by all other residents of Tripura. Please repeat. The proposals submitted by King Indra were immediately accepted by Bali Maharaj and his assistants, headed by Sambhara and Aristanemi, and by all the other residents of Tripura. Purport. It appears from this verse that politics, diplomacy, the propensity to cheat, and everything that we find in this world in individual and social negotiations between two parties are also present in the upper planetary systems. The demigods went to Bali Maharaj with the proposal to manufacture nectar, and the daityas, the demons, immediately accepted it, thinking that since the demigods are already weak, When the nectar was produced from the demon, the demons would take it from them and use it for their own purpose. The demigods, of course, had similar intentions. The only difference is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, was on the side of the demigods, because the demigods were his devotees, whereas the demons did not care about Lord Vishnu. All our universe, there are two parties, the Vishnu party or God conscious party and the godless party. The godless party is never happy or victorious, but the God conscious party is always happy and victorious. The proposals submitted by King Indra were immediately accepted by Bali Maharaj and his assistants, headed by Sambara and Arishtanemi, and by all the other residents of Tripura. The story before this text is Bali Maharaj and his demoniac assistants. They were able to dominate the demigods, and as they continued to fight, the demigods were only finding that they are in no condition to conquer the demons headed by Bali Maharaj. So demigods, they are expected to be submissive to the will of the God or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but it is the nature of this world that we oftentimes forget. The demons, they ignore and defy the authority of the Personality of Godhead. The demigods accept submission to the authority of Personality of Godhead, but as it is the nature of this material world, we tend to forget. Because here in this world, there is always contamination, and we have the tendency to lord over. So the mistake is quite possible that we forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because we have done some devotional service, be it faith in the scriptures, be it submission to superior authorities or the universal agents, or unknowingly that we may have done some service to saintly people or the personality of Godhead, or sometimes like we maintain the cow, you know, not that we wanted to serve the cows, but we want milk. So still serving the cows is pleasing to the personality of Godhead, and that purifies us. So similarly, sometimes it also happens, not that we have any interest in spiritual path or God, but sometimes we happen to render some service, you know? Like some old Swamiji may be in the bus and is unable to get into the bus. So you are not serving him because he is a Swamiji, but you are serving him because he is an old man, no? And you help him. But because it happens to be a service to the devotee of the Lord, so we immediately accumulate some pious merits. So all these things, they help us to attain the mercy of the Lord. So there is sloka in Bhagavad Gita, Natadasya Pridhyamya Divideshu Vapanaha, that there is no one in the entire material world who is immune to the contamination of three modes of material nature. But because we have rendered some direct or indirect devotional service, we come back to take shelter. Everyone in this world has difficulties, but the way people face the difficulties, they differ. Like it is said, there are two kinds of people, the God-fearing people, God-believing people, God-conscious people, and then the other part is godless people, God-defying people, no? So these two parties, and these God-believing people, how do they face difficulties? They get into difficulties because they forget God, and these difficulties will remind them. That is what we many times explain. Why do devotees get into difficulties? Sometimes we make devotional service also, you know, a formality, or take it for granted. It's the nature of the world. When we keep doing things, it becomes a routine thing, you know. So routine things means the mind becomes absent, you know. It becomes a habit. So, like yesterday, Radhanath Maharaj was saying how the Lord makes some exciting arrangements, some special arrangements, although it is not necessary, but it is necessary in this world, so that we hold on to the lotus feet of the Lord steadfast. So, actually, there is no time, no place where we can be complacent in this world that we have attained transcendence. Because the scriptures are saying, the Bhagavad Gita is saying, you know, that there's always chance, there's always risk. Abrahma Bhavanar Loka Punaravatan Arjuna Mamupetit Kaunteya Punarjanma Navidyate. So, like we are seeing here, the demigods are also into chaos, they're also into anxiety, you know, and they also have to apply this diplomacy, politics, and things like that. But the thing to be seen is whether we are doing this diplomacy and politics for our self-interest, or in order to help ourselves, help others to come closer to the personality of Godhead. You know? Whether we are doing this diplomacy and politics to come closer to the personality of Godhead and to help others, like it is said, you know, like Prabhupada, tricked people. In the beginning, he was not teaching them anything. He was just feeding them nicely. And he was like these hippies and these wayward people. They were into wild singing and fun. So, Prabhupada went their way, and then what happened gradually, they have to come to a very high standard of living, you know. Said, if I were to tell them in the beginning itself, no, nobody would have come to me. No? I did not tell them anything, and slowly, said, you enter like a needle and come out like a plow, you know. Tear apart the false ego of the person, you know, and then make him a devotee, you know. So, the demigods, they came to their senses and they found the need that they should take shelter and instructions from the Lord, headed by Lord Brahma and Shiva. They all approached, and then the Lord, for his own sweet pastime, for his own transcendental enjoyment, he gave them some assignment, you know. He can solve the problem himself, but he responded to the prayer of the demigods, and he put an assignment, you know, before them. Now you churn the milk ocean by mixing these herbs and things. And then you make truce with the demons, and then the product, the nectar, I will see that it will be delivered to you. Don't be tempted by many other things that may come out of the churning of the milk ocean, but you just wait, because I already told you in advance that the nectar will come and it will be given unto you. So this is the advantage of taking shelter of the personality of Godhead by way of scriptures and saintly people, that we will be relieved, like, you know, was saying, there may be pain, yesterday, pain and suffering, something like that. Pain will be there, but not necessarily that you have to suffer, no? Because it is how we take things. Like we may have a big gain, but it may not necessarily make us happy. We may be in complete anxiety. Now I may have enemies, how to safeguard this? and you are into many anxieties. So previously, when it was not there, we were more relaxed and happy. But when we have more wealth, it brought in its fold so many anxieties and problems. That is why I said, you don't go for wealth, but you go for devotional service or the personality of Godhead. And in its wake, in the course of time, along with the devotional service, if it also brings wealth, and when wealth comes by dint of devotional service, we don't neglect devotional service and then take care of the wealth. But we, in spite of the wealth, continue to be in devotional service, and that wealth will do all good to us. So it is also said that the wealth that comes by our personal endeavor, it may not last. There may be ups and downs in life, because we worked hard for wealth, and now we have wealth, and we may change our ways. That means we may be given to vices. It may make us proud, and then we lose our teen spirit. We are working as a team. Now I have become rich. Now I think I don't have to cooperate with others, and I don't have to work in a team. And then things fall apart. And another thing, it looks like we worked hard for wealth and we got the wealth. But maybe that it is our past good karmas that we got the wealth. Because not everybody who is working hard is getting wealth. So it may be our past good credits that we got this wealth. And there may be bad credits also, in the pipeline, and then everything will, we make mistakes and we lose everything. So It is always safe to be in devotional service, and whatever devotional service brings, whether it brings woes or joys, it is all good for us. One press reporter asked Srila Prabhupada, why do people chant all the time and induce others also to chant all the time? No? And the simple answer given was, because we want to chant more. No? We want to chant more. Because we are here to remember and not forget the personality of Godhead, not Krishna. That is the business. That is the prime business of life. That is the only business of life. And anyone who can do that, we don't have to worry about other material necessities of life. Because when we are not discharging duties given by God, still we are maintained by the Lord. And when we make an effort to fulfill the duties given by the Lord, obviously we will be taken better care. No? There is no doubt about that. No? Srila Prabhupada also said, what to speak of sinful people getting their necessities of life, animals, no, birds, insects, they are also getting their quota of maintenance, and why not the devotees of the Lord, they get their necessities of life. It is certain to happen. It is also the promise by the Lord. So, if devotees sometimes have problems or difficulties, it is for self-examination that I may not be doing my devotional service properly. So, am I doing my duties the way they are ordained in the scriptures? Am I doing my duties to the pleasure of Lord Krishna? Am I doing my duties to the pleasure of the representatives of Lord Krishna? No? Things like that. So it is not just attending Mangalarti or chanting 16 rounds. There is a whole way how we can perform devotional service. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadat nagati kutalo. And the senior devotees are pleased with us, and the spiritual master is pleased with us, then it may be that we are doing some devotional service. You know? Like sometimes devotees get some praise. You know, the public comes and says, "Wow, you sing so nicely, you know, your class is so good." But what is the value of public or non-devotees come and give you some compliment? You know? What is the value? So people who are more advanced than us, people under whose charge we are kept, like the temple president or the spiritual master or the senior devotees whom we are supposed to assist, you know, when they are pleased with us. You know. Sometimes we may not have faith in the authority or even in our own spiritual master. We may not have faith. We may be following the form of devotional service. We may be doing the formalities of the devotional service. But the fact is, instead of doing it half-heartedly, instead of doing it without that faith, we are always safe. Somehow, if you have accepted someone as an authority, or we happen to stay under some authority, be assured that the authority may be not right, but because we are rightly situated, you know, to submit to the authority, we are bound to be protected. There is no doubt about that. You know? So, this is what we call faith. When we take up the process, because faith is the main thing, it is not the process, it is the faith. You know? Like sometimes we see, for some reason, senior devotees may not be able to come for Mangalarti or do this and that. So it is not our business. It is not our business to why. No. So actually, if you are doing your sadhana properly, and if you are trying to please the authorities properly, we will be given the intelligence. Like the demigods here, they have the implicit faith. They have come back. And the Lord Himself is telling that so many temptations and allurements will be there. But don't become a victim. Don't succumb to that. Tolerate your demands or temptations, and you just wait for the nectar, and you will surely get this nectar. So similarly, human life is meant to recognize the authority of God and follow the instructions of the Lord and become a servant of the Lord, and you do everything for the pleasure of the Lord. You know? And such people can see that whatever is happening, it is happening for my all good. Like those sincere devotees who stick to this principle, they very well understand why I do not have the opportunities, why I am being neglected, why I am in trouble. They can understand, and then they remain patient, they wait. Actually, the point is, in this world, we all come here with our heaps of sins or pious activities or with our own agenda, and so we all take our own time. If something can hasten the process, it is to stick to this principle of trying to please the authorities, and you patiently follow the process. Stick to this thing. Then that may put us on the fast track, you know. And so we only have to worry about, did I stick to the process? Am I trying to please the authorities? And you understand why things are going this way, that way. And you also see how it is very purificatory for our devotional service, and our enthusiasm will remain irrespective of the circumstances. No? Yesterday, but in the room, what that? Sagar Prabhu and Vishwambar Das. they were helping us, the room. So he was asking me a question. Now, you, for years together, you are by yourself staying in some place. How do you survive? Or how do you maintain your enthusiasm? He was asking me, you know. So, the answer is, directly or indirectly, you stick to this principle, you know. Like sometimes directly we may be in the association, but still we may not take things seriously, or association seriously. Or you may be distanced, but you take things seriously. So who will make advancement? It's not, that's why we say, not the vapu, the physical proximity, but it is the vani, you know, how you take the instructions of our superiors seriously, you know. So the principle is there, whether we are in the association or we are distanced. Like I may have distanced myself, or sometimes because of service, you may have to be at a distance place. That is also the instruction of the spiritual master. So, because that is the instruction of the spiritual master, you do that. You know? I was reading multi-volume book, The Memories of Srila Prabhupada. There is some similar conversation. It was Harikesh Maharaj, like that. And Prabhupada was on his world tour, busy schedule. Serving Prabhupada, attending to Prabhupada was very old, attending to him. And attending to the jobs, preaching the service. And then there was not enough time to take rest, what to speak of chanting 16 rounds? So you become disturbed. We were given this process, and now I am trying to assist, and then this is what is happening. I am not getting proper rest, and I am not able to chant. Then he could not contain himself, and finding a proper time and place. Because suppose you ask your spiritual master before everybody, you say we have to chant 16 rounds, but I don't have, your engagement is so busy, I cannot. That people are. It's like, you know, putting a irksome question to your own spiritual master. Sometimes you have to find a place and time, and you have to put some basic questions like that. It's a question you can put, but sometimes you have to wait, no? You cannot be, you know. So he has put that question, and Prabhupada said, you know, hell with your sadhana, hell with your chanting 16 rounds. Because I am pleased with you. I am pleased with you that whatever service I am doing. So, any person in the management, they also know, like sometimes it may be like Janmashtami or some big program. Sometimes, like sometimes, I'm looking after the Nellore center, and the devotees, they sometimes ask me, a Chaupati devotees, they all sit morning time. Sometimes, when we're only few devotees, and there are certain services to do, like some people go into the kitchen, some people into some things that have to be done only at that time, you have to do. So the vision is there, the plan is there, but it may take a little time before we organize things. The mood is there. So it was Prabhupada's plan that all devotees should be doing their sadhana and seva like this. But in special circumstances and sometimes things may go here and there. So out of our immaturity, we should not think that why my authority is dealing with me like this. So, benefit of doubt, So, the point is that Prabhupada said in this last line of the purport that victory and happiness will be on the devotee's side, So, when we say victory, it can be a physical accomplishment in our devotional activity, and it may not be there, but still we can say we are victorious, because the business of doing all these material accomplishments, even in devotional service like building a temple or things like that, ultimately that we have to become devotees. So whether externally there is an achievement or not, but someone who continues to remain a devotee, like Abhimanyu lost his life while fighting halfway, but in the personal presence of exalted devotees and the Lord Himself. So do we say he has to come back to complete his devotional service, or that he was unsuccessful. No, he is completely successful because he has accepted himself fully, neglecting his own safety, his own life. So we can say, as much as when the Mahabharata war concluded and there were the Pandavas alive, and there were many warriors who have given up their life. But because the warriors who gave up their life and the warriors who were physically victorious by remaining alive to attain the kingdom, both were victorious because they attained the lotus feet of the Lord. So similarly, about happiness, like Dhruva Maharaj or Prahlad Maharaj or Haridas Thakur, it looks like most of their life they were going through terrible suffering, but who can judge their consciousness? At least we can accept that in spite of the terrible suffering, they remained only enthusiastic about devotional service. That means they are actually finding happiness. You know, it did not make a difference for them whether these difficulties were there. That's why. So that is why we call this devotional service as a transcendental process. Transcendental process means we cannot see victory or happiness in terms of what we can see with our physical vision. Thank you. Here, stop the class. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you for your nice class, Maharaj. Maharaj, you quoted one verse from Bhagavad Gita in the beginning of your class, in which it explains that no one in the material world is immune from the contamination of the three modes of material nature. So we also hear it later in the Bhagavad Gita, 14th chapter, 26th verse, Mam cha yo vyabhicharena, that some souls, they do overcome the three modes of material nature. So I'm a little confused, because in one sense it says no one is immune from three modes, and then later Bhagavad Gita explains some do, they do overcome the three modes. So I was thinking this is like tatastha shakti. Some people are sometimes, my question is, when the modes are overcome, is it one reaches a level of advancement where one is able to permanently transcend the modes? Or is it sometimes we're under the modes and sometimes we're free from the modes? So, and does it occur all of a sudden, or is it a gradual process?
Generally, devotional service is a gradual process, isn't it? So, although it is said, the moment you surrender to the Lord, immediately But if things are given to us without endeavor and effort, we don't recognize their value. So, when we reach the transcendental state with so much, sometimes making mistakes, it is possible that the Lord may make a mistake just to crash our false ego. Parikshit Maharaj has put a dead serpent, or Arjun went into illusion, so the Lord put him. Devotional, the process is generally a gradual process. Then we know that we are completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. And the point you are making, some people transcend. Those people have attained the complete mercy of the Lord, they remain on a transcendental platform, although they are in this material world. So, when the Lord is, when we pass all the tests, and then we are at His shelter, then He may release us. And such people are decorated with all good qualities, or all the qualities of a Vaishnava, the 26 qualities of a Vaishnava. So, it is not that we have transcended, but they are characteristics. Until we reach that, as you said, we are the like tatastha energy, that there is always room.
When one attains that transcendental state, can the person sometimes dip down again into the modes, or once one attains that state, one stays there, one is fixed?
So, when we say a transcendental person, somebody who has transcended, so where is the question of modes? So one who doesn't forget all the time, as you have quoted that sloka, manchayo avyabhicharena bhakti yoga yana sevate sagunan samati tvaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. So how we describe devotional service: shraddha, sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, anardha nivritti, nishta, ruchi, asakti, bhava, then generally the process. There may be, it's up to the Lord. About Brahma, I said Brahma did not have guru, is it? Exceptional. But the general rule is that everyone should have a guru. Everyone should have a spiritual master. So it is up to the Lord sometimes. Many examples can be given. So why not me? Why only him? That means we are not patient, we are envious, we don't see how fallen we are, and we are making a demand before the Lord that I want to be like Prabhupada overnight. I Actually, at least a good devotee is satisfied, pleasing the authorities and following the process, he is satisfied. And he sees how Krishna is releasing him. He is finding some advancement internally. There is result. It may not be tangible to the public. It may not be to the degree of recognition by the body of devotees. So, but what can we do? We are our own. We are our own karmas, we are one. Only we can try to be on the fast track, trying to be stay in the path of devotional service. And make no demands. Sometimes I think, why I am not also an active member of Chaupati? Why I am not taking direct instruction from Radhanath Maharaj? Maharaj, give me an interview. I don't have guts to ask that. So let's say it. But the internal mood is there. At least Krishna was kind to make me appreciate him and be in the line that one day I will be able to submit. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Hare Krishna.